if you'll grab your Bible and go with me to the book of Joshua, I appreciate Pastor a lot. We've gotten many a chance to talk, as he said, and we have a lot of common interests, and hunting is just one of them. But yet, nonetheless, he has been a pastor for a long time, and my dad has been a pastor for a long time. Pastor, you've been here how many years now? 30th year. And I think my dad has been where he's at over in Shelby Township, Michigan, for 30 years. And I can honestly say I've had the joy and privilege of growing up in a pastor's home. Not only is my dad a pastor, but my grandpa was a pastor as well. He was a pastor for 50 years, my grandpa was, everywhere from Iowa to Wisconsin to Illinois, and of course in Michigan. Grandpa was a pastor in all those different, helped to start 3 different camps, Grandpa did. Not only did he have a heart for the church, but also for camping, Christian camping. He did one of the camps that he started in Wisconsin is still going, and just a tremendous burden that he had for young people, and to see young people grow up and learn about the Lord, not only just through the Word of God, but also, as Pastor was talking about, God giving us nature and the beauty of nature and that which we can learn in the great outdoors. He enjoyed all of that. Grandpa was a hunter as well. So all of that he put together. So, and then on my mom's side, my grandpa there traveled for Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises. I don't know if anybody know who he is. But traveled around for the Roloff Ministries for over 14 years. They did that. So I am duly blessed, greatly blessed. And as I say that, I grew up in a pastor's home, but not wanting to be a preacher. I did not. Matter of fact, I love sports, and my favorite was soccer. And I shared this with Pastor and several that we did the FaceTime with. I really wanted to, as I grew up, I wanted to be a professional soccer player. And I wanted to be the first soccer player to make $1 million. That was my goal. And but at the same time, knowing how poor churches are, I said, God, if you let me be a professional soccer player and make $1 million, I will give 90% of that to the church, and I'll live on 10%. That sounds like a good deal, right? I mean, $900,000 to the church, and I'll live on $100,000. And I thought, $100,000, I can live on $100,000 easy. That's fantastic. And as I'm trying to make this deal with the Lord says, nope, I won't take that deal. John, I want you to serve me. And I said, God, I don't think I want to do that. It's hard being a pastor. It's not easy. And a lot of times the people don't like you. Make sense? And so I said, nah, you know, everybody likes a soccer player. So I think, God, I'm going to choose that route. And so, and this happened through a number of years. And finally, at the age of 14, I was at camp. And I had a great speaker that year. I knew him for a long time. And he was preaching to the teens about surrendering your life to serve the Lord. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a long week. It's going to be a long week. I know what God wants me to do, and this is going to be a long week. And so, sure enough, I had been struggling with that with the Lord. I mean, the Lord and I were going back and forth. And Thursday came, I knew that the week was winding down, and so the Lord was really pulling out my heart, John, I want you to serve me, and I want you to serve me, and it was very clear as I was reading God's Word, and as the Word of God was even preached to me, I want you to serve me, and I want you to serve me working with teens and young people. And I thought, God, why in the world, God, would you want me to serve the hardest people possible? Teenagers. God, teenagers don't even like themselves, let alone somebody else. They're the worst. God, you've clearly got something messed up. I don't like talking in front of people. Teenagers bite. I mean, they're just wicked and evil. They know it. And yet God kept working on my heart and saying, John, that's what I want you to do. And I said, I can't talk. My dad does a great job. Grandpa did a great job. They were eloquent of tongue. Can't you pick somebody else? And God's like, no, I want you. So there in front of the chapel or the tabernacle there at camp, I literally was pacing back and forth in front. It was free time at that time. I was a junk foodaholic, so I think I had a Klondike bar in one hand and my Verner's in the other hand as I'm talking to the Lord, walking back in front of the tabernacle, trying to convince God that I was not a good choice. It's really what it was. And the pressure and the burden on my heart was immense. And so I came into the service that evening, and sure enough, he preached on the nation of Israel, and we're going to actually look at that partly this morning, but the nation of Israel crossing the Jordan River and how that they needed to be fully surrendered to the call that God was going to call the nation of Israel to, and that was going in, conquering the land, and then establishing all that God had done as far as cities and dividing it up, and they needed to be fully committed to the plan that God had for them. And previously he talked about how they weren't fully committed and what that cost the nation of Israel in 40 years of wandering and stuff like that. And so he looked at both and he said, all right, now what I want is I want to know those that are willing to say, God, here am I. You use me however you want. And he said, now to make it more difficult, it would be easy if I gave an invitation and had you just simply raise your hand and say, yes, God, I'm willing to surrender to serve you full time. Just raise your hand and put it down. That's the easy way out. In front of all of your peers, I want you to come and by the way, that baby won't bother me. So I'm quite used to 8 of mine crying during the service. So congratulations. Amen. So he goes, well, I want to make it really, really difficult. And in front of all of your peers, if you're willing to say, God, I want to give you my life. I'm willing to serve you in whatever way you can, in whatever way you want from me. I want you to come forward and stand in front of them all. Now, if you know teens don't like to do anything like that. I mean, that's a taboo. Okay, you just... No way, not a chance. But God's pull and tug on my heart was so great that I said, okay, God, I'm willing to do it. But look at what you're getting. God, you're getting the raw end of this deal. It's just me. It's just John Loggins. I'm nothing special. I can't talk. I can dribble a ball with my feet, and that's about all I can do. So that day, I remember it well, that day, I went forward and stood, and praise the Lord, there was several of us, and we stood and said, God, here am I, do whatever you want. That was probably, you talk about a burden rolling off your shoulders, it was amazing. But I still had this thing that, God, you still know who I'm talking to. These are teenagers, all right? These are young people, and sometimes their parents can be just as scary. So, I tell you what, I can honestly say, apart from accepting Christ as my own personal Savior, way back October 23rd, 1983, apart from that, that was the second best day of my life, where I said, God, here it is, use me. I have never regretted that day. I can say that honestly. I think that which God has called me to is the best job ever possible. I love teenagers, and I love little kids, and I love even working with their parents. What a tremendous burden. What a tremendous burden that they carry in trying to raise their kids for the Lord. And as a youth pastor, as a pastor, my job is to help them, to be that Aaron the Hur that holds their arms up and hopefully encourages them to go one more day. And then you're like, what is it? If you've ever had kids, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get to that point where you're like, oh, I'm not sure I can make it one more day. And as a youth pastor, that's what you're there. You're there to encourage not just the pastor and be a blessing to the pastor, but also all of those parents. And so that just gives you a little of my burden. My burden for young people is to see them grow up and to serve the Lord in whatever way God calls them. Not all of it is to be a youth pastor or a pastor. Sometimes God calls them to be plumbers, computer technicians, missionaries. There's all those things. They need to say, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you have for my life special? God gives us talents, gifts, and abilities, and they all differ. And if you look in the New Testament, especially in Corinthians, God says that he gives them all different gifts, and specifically, one, you're not a mistake. Two, you weren't here by accident. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You need to seek his face and then say, God, okay, what is it then that I'm supposed to do, and help me to use all of my energy for you? There you have it. That's the sum of the whole thing. And so that's what I encourage and challenge them. All right, you're there in, hopefully, in the book of Joshua, chapter 14. I want to encourage you even today as I preach. Joshua chapter 14, we're going to look at quickly the life of Caleb this morning. And I titled the message, I Want That Mountain. I Want That Mountain. Joshua is my favorite person in the Bible. Matter of fact, my life verse is Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I believe it's the only place in the whole Bible where you find the word prosperous and success found. And God, through Joshua, lays it out how a person can be successful and prosperous, and here's the key, in God's eyes. Because the world looks at success and prosperity in a total different way than what God does. But that's my life verse, is Joshua 1:8. So when we come to Joshua chapter 14, we find, in my opinion, we find Joshua's sidekick. And maybe he wasn't even a sidekick. He may have been as good as Joshua, so to speak. But we find a man by the name of Caleb. And Caleb has this, in this particular passage, we're going to find Caleb says, I want that mountain. And I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a challenge and a blessing to you today. And I believe that the life of Caleb is a tremendous encouragement. I believe it's a tremendous life, not only of encouragement, but of also faithfulness to the Lord and then reward. And we're going to just look at several of these this morning. So Joshua chapter 14, let's start in verse number 6, and we'll read verse number 6 all the way down, all right? Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse number 6, it says, Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I should be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Father, I ask that as we look at your word today, that you would help this passage of scripture to be an encouragement and a blessing to these people, as it has been a tremendous encouragement to me. Father, I ask that you would, as we look into this passage, may you not only give us wisdom and insight, help me to say only that which you would want me to say today and not say anything I shouldn't. Father, again, hide me behind the cross. May Jesus Christ be lifted up, magnified and exalted today. We love you. Thank you for this passage of scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you like to do hard things? Depends, right? Some things in life you're like, okay, yeah, I like to do that. And other things you're like, no. I remember well, it was a few years ago, I was a camp counselor all the way up in Flagstaff, Arizona. Anybody know where that is? Right behind the camp was called Mount Eldon. And Mount Eldon, on one particular Saturday, Mount Eldon was a legit mountain. It was part of a four-mountain peak that was right along that ridge there. And I don't remember how many thousands of feet up that mountain was, but like I said, the camp property ended at the base of the mountain. And one particular Saturday, I remember there was about five of us camp counselors that said, you know, we know that there's a trail that goes up the mountain, and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And if you've ever done any mountain climbing whatsoever, that's how most of the good trails are. They just weave their way on up the mountain. But we said, no, that's way too easy. We're going to go straight on up. That may have sounded like a good idea, but it was a bad choice. Okay? One, I had the worst possible tennis shoes at the time. They had little knobs on the bottom of them, which made them really, really slippery for any rock whatsoever. And once you made it halfway up the mountain, that was all boulders and rocks and stuff like that. The last part of the mountain was all lava slides. And lava slides are really, really, really slippery. They're really, really steep. And they've got some cracks and crevices in them where if you slide off and fall into them, they go about 14 to 16 feet down into a pinch point. If you fall into there, there ain't no help for you. Pardon my English. You're toast. You're stuck. Literally stuck. And we started climbing, and the boulder part and everything, okay, we're sweating, you know, this is tough. When I got to that lava slide part, I realized, John, you're crazy. This is not smart. Not smart at all, but it sounded like a good idea. Because it was tough, and it was not just part of the reason why we wanted to do that is because there was girls with us at the first, and the girls said, hey, we're going to take the trail. And being the the macho men that we thought we were, we're like, nuh-uh, I'm not going to take the easy road. I'm not going to take the easy path, even though it was not easy. It was still a work to get up that mountain. We thought we were going to do it like we ought to and be proper men and go straight on up the mountain. By the time we got up to the top, we were thankful to be alive. Very, very, very thankful to be alive. And we thought, you know, that wasn't so smart. All because we wanted to do it the hard way. when we come to this passage of Scripture in Joshua chapter 14, we come, of course, to this man by the name of Caleb. And Caleb, it seemed like, not only liked a challenge, but he took on a challenge and he did it well. I remember well when I first came up with this sermon, I thought of our junior church song. 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Some saw giants big and tall. Some saw grapes with clusters long. Some saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good. How many of you remember that song? It's a great song. That virtually came just prior to this in regards to it. That the 10 were bad. You remember who those were. Those were the group that didn't believe what God said to go in and conquer land. And the 2 were good were who? Joshua and Caleb. All right? And Caleb was the one that went in with Joshua, looked at the land and said, "This is incredible. This is just fantastic. It's a land," and as you know the story well, when he came back and they gave the report, "It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. There are giants in the land, but hey, don't you remember? God said to go in and we can do this." And him and Joshua were all excited. They were all in and ready to go in. And they said, "This is just an incredible land that God is going to give to us." And they were all excited. And then the 10 were bad. They were the ones that gave their report. And the fear that they instilled in the people. You can't do it. There's no way it can be done. And that's where the Bible says that their heart melted. And guess what? They made the choice. Made the choice that, no, we can't. And from there, you remember the wanderings in the wilderness? All of that was a result of them not believing Joshua and Caleb's report. Well, you come then from there, and now they've crossed over the Jordan River, and now Caleb comes to Joshua and says, "Joshua, I want that mountain." And the whole premise of "I want that mountain" was, this was the spot. Joshua, if you remember, Moses said, wherever our feet walks, wherever we spied out, wherever we trod, that was the place that God said that I can have. And Joshua, this is the area, Kadesh Barnea, that area, that's the place that I want, that my feet went, and that's where I want. Which brings me to our first point. There was a problem. There was a problem with that, or a situation. And if you look at verse number 12, it says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there." Do you remember who the Anakims were? They were the giants. Matter of fact, we talk about little kids' songs when it says, "Some saw giants big and tall." Believe it or not, there's a very famous giant that we talk about in junior church, and who is that? Goliath. Goliath was an Anakim. If you do your study, you study that he was a Philistine of Gath, and you do all of that, Goliath and his brothers, matter of fact, remember what was odd about Goliath? He had what? 6-finger, yes, thing, and 6 what? 6 toes. I'm saying this for my junior church kids. It's a lot of fun, okay? But they were huge. Some, if depending on how you did your calculations for height and the cubit and all of that, Goliath was anywhere from 9 feet, 1 inch, to some say that Goliath could have been as much as 11 feet, 6. Can you imagine that? And yet Caleb says to Joshua, "Joshua, I want that mountain. And on that mountain were the Anakims." The biggest, tallest, and what we know about Goliath is he was a what? He was a warrior. He knew exactly what to do with his sword and his shield and had all the armor. These guys were decked out for war. They had been battling all over in the whole land of Canaan. They were warrior people. And yet, Caleb says, I want that mountain. Yeah. The mountain with all the giants? Yeah, that's the one. That's what I want. Not only do we see that the problem was that the giants were there, it says, and that the cities were great and fenced. Those of you that know anything about war or battle, when you have cities that are fenced, it's harder to get in. It's harder to take them over. It's not as easy to go in and conquer that city because of the fence that was there. Yet, nonetheless, Caleb says, hey, I want that mountain. Yeah, the mountain with all the giants, and they've got the giant cities that seem like they're impenetrable. They're hard to get in. Yeah, I want that. And one more thing. One more problem. Do you realize how old Caleb was? Now, it wouldn't have been so bad if Caleb says, I want that mountain, and he was... Now, how old do you have to be in order to get in the service today? 18, right? Why do they let you in as an 18-year-old? Because you got all that strength and that vim and that vigor, and you're still somewhat crazy, and you think that you can take the world, and you've got it by the tail, and no problem, right? As an 18-year-old. If Caleb was 18, you would have said, you still don't have a chance, but go ahead. Did you hear what I just said? If Caleb was 18, you would have still said, Caleb, you don't have a chance. Those are giants. And if you remember how tall the Israelite people are, the tall people would have been my height. Okay? They're not very tall people. Caleb still wouldn't have had a chance. Not even. But how old is Caleb? 85 years old. You don't have to raise your hand, but do I have any 85-year-olds in here at all? You're 85, sir? Is it possible for you to stand? Now I'm not insulting him. That's true. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That gentleman right there is 85 years old. Picture him saying, like Caleb, I want that mountain. Yes. The ones with the giants, the Anakims there, the ones with the fenced cities. And Caleb, being 85 years old, says, I want that mountain. The situation, the problem was great. You say, not a chance. There's no way that can be done. It's Caleb, it's not humanly possible. But let's go on to the second one. The second point that I see, and I think it's very important, was Caleb's attitude. Caleb's attitude. Now, you know what an attitude is, right? An attitude is a mindset. It's a mindset. That's actually what attitude is. It's a mindset. Matter of fact, my kids thought today that I was going to preach on attitude. I like that. Your attitude tells a lot about a person. Caleb's attitude was amazing. It was incredible. Matter of fact, what we find in Numbers chapter 30, verse number 13, that Caleb's attitude was one of, his mindset was one of confidence in the Lord. If God said it, then I'm supposed to do it. And if I'm supposed to do it, then he'll give me the strength, the power, and the ability to do it. That was Caleb's attitude. God, If you've given me this land, this is clearly the place that my feet have walked on, and that's where you said that I was going to get. Yeah, they may look big and bad, but I've got a God that is bigger and badder. Pardon my English. His confidence in the Lord was amazing. Caleb, being 85 years old, you would say, Caleb, you're nuts. But at the same time, he was, God, I believe in what you said, and you've never failed me, and I can do it. His attitude was incredible. We also find that Caleb was determined to follow the Lord. He wasn't going to let anyone or any situation hinder him. We see that in his prior history. Remember, those 10 were bad. The odds were against him. It was Joshua and Caleb against 10. And yet, do we find that Joshua and Caleb backed down to those 10? No. They were the ones rallying the troops, saying, come on, guys, we can do this. We can do this. With God's help, God's clearly already said that we can do this. He's given us this land. Come on, let's do it. You will find it amazing. Just as God said, it's wonderful. Let's go. And the other 10 were saying, biting their fingernails, knocking their knees. And yet Caleb's like, come on. He didn't allow all of the circumstances. Yay, he didn't even allow the other people to assuade him. It was, no, again, if God said it, let's do it. We got to be determined to do what God asks us to do. I also find that Caleb's attitude was that of eagerness and positive. I've done running in my repertoire. One, I like to run the 2 mile. How many of you like running? That's about 4 of you. And 3 of you are kids. That's great. All right. One thing about running is a lot of it is mental. A lot of running is mental. And if you go to that starting line, whether it's a line or the starting blocks, and you don't have in your mind that I'm going to win this race, guess what? Chances are you're not going to win the race. But if you have in your mind that, hey, I'm going to give it my all, and by God's grace, I'm going to win this race, then that whole mental outlook and the positiveness in you will help you to run what? Better. It really will. And yet we find Caleb's attitude was just that of positive and eager to do what God wanted him to do. I have found, even as being a youth pastor and assistant pastor, I've asked people to do different chores. And I can tell by their attitude or by their response often how well they're going to do in that which I've asked them to do. If I ask them to do something, they're like, sure. Then I'm like, ooh, this is probably not going to go so well. But if they go, yes, they might not do, like, phenomenal, but when they're willing to give it their all, that positive, eager attitude is really, really catchy. And everybody that they do it with, again, it might not be like what we would consider like prime perfect, but they'll get everybody else excited. And that really sometimes is 90% of the battle. Caleb's attitude of being eager to do what God wanted him to do and his positivism was unbelievable. I believed it not only helped him, but believed that it helped all of Caleb's family when they finally went in and conquered this mountain. I believe it was Caleb's attitude that literally set the stage. So let's go on. The next thing we find is Caleb's heart. You're going to find that, look at verse number 9. And this really lays out for us Caleb's heart. It says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Now catch this. This is Caleb's heart. Because thou hast what? Wholly followed the Lord my God. You find that phrase, wholly followed the Lord my God, in not only in Joshua 14:9, but also in Deuteronomy 1:36, Joshua 14:14, and then Joshua 14:8. That wholly followed the Lord. Moses said that Caleb had it. God said that Caleb had it. Joshua said that Caleb had it. And then in Joshua 14:8, Caleb's own words were, "I have wholly followed the Lord my God." I have found, and I've only been on this earth for 42 years, but I have found that as somebody is willing to give and put their all in, especially when it comes to the Lord, that God blesses in amazing things. As you're willing to say, "God, I might not have all of the ability to do this. I might not have all the talent to do this. I might not have all the wisdom to do this. But as you've asked me to do it, and I am going to give my all to you," that God does an amazing, amazing work. And we find that, especially in the life of Caleb. You go ahead and read Joshua chapter 1 all the way to Joshua chapter 14, and you look at the life of Caleb, and you see all that God does. God only allowed two people that were 20 years old and up to go into the land of Canaan. And who were they? Joshua and Caleb. And as you look even from there on in, you look at the life of Caleb. Caleb, literally, his whole heart's desire is to do what God wanted him to do. That was it. He was wholehearted. And when somebody's willing to be all in and to give their all, God says that and God rewards. He does. He rewards in amazing different ways. And I believe, to be perfectly honest, it's the only way to serve God. You look even at the book of Revelation, and there's a church that was called lukewarm. That's one that's they're not And what does God say about that church? It makes him want to vomit. Makes him want to spew them out. And I've known a lot of Christians that way. They're half-hearted. They're not willing to give their all. They're the people, this might sound bad, they're the people that'll come in and do a great job of warming a pew, but aren't willing to do a thing. There are some people that'll give great lip service, but never get their hands or their feet dirty. Understand what I'm saying? That's not all in. That's what you call half-hearted. You do something half-hearted, it just doesn't ever go well. Caleb's heart was, "God, I'm wanting to do and serve and be a part of that which you have to do, and I'm all the way completely wholehearted in." When we baptize somebody, how much do we baptize of them? Why? Because God wants all of us, not just part of us. When Christ went to the cross, did he halfway die? No. He completely, interesting enough, I preach a message in regards to the obedience of Christ. And we find Christ's obedience started way at the beginning of his ministry, and he was consistently obedient all the way, and we find even the point of no return was that of that Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ is there praying, and what does the Bible says that his body does? He sweats great drops of blood. At that point, and I've heard it stated from medical professions that Christ could have died right there in that garden. When your body starts to break down like that and you sweat drops of blood, it's not going well with you. And yet, Christ made that point that I was born to die, and we find Christ doing that. His obedience came all the way through to the cross, and he did exactly what God asked him to do. He was fully committed. Fully committed. We find that for believers, as you look through the New Testament, we find individuals that were fully committed. I believe one specifically was that of Paul. Paul was fully committed to do what God asked him to do. We find that before Paul came to know Christ, he was fully committed to go in the opposite direction. He comes to know Christ there on that road to Damascus, and we find that then Paul was fully committed to do what God wanted him to do, no matter what. It didn't matter how many times he got beat. It didn't matter how many times he got stoned. It didn't matter how many times he got shipwrecked. It didn't matter how many people told him he couldn't do what he was doing. And how many people were against Paul. And we find that even he even had Christians that were against Paul. And what does Paul do? Say, I quit. Was that Paul's attitude? He could have, right? He could have quit many, many times. Paul could have thrown in the towel and said, that's it. These lousy, stinking Christians. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. Yeah, fine. Be that way. Yet we don't find Paul that way. Paul says, look, I am going to, like Caleb, I'm going to wholly follow God. Even if it kills me, I'm going to follow God. That's incredible. Finally, what we see is Caleb's reward. We see Caleb's problem. It was a great problem. We see Caleb's attitude. He had an incredible, impeccable attitude of confidence in his God. Caleb's heart was wholly committed, wholly to following the Lord. And then we see what a blessing God rewards. God rewards. We find that, first of all, that Caleb's reward was physical. If you look in verse number 11, this is an amazing thing. In verse number 11, it says, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. That's an incredible reward. Brother, you that are 85 years old, can you imagine saying, look, I am as strong today at the age of 85 as I was when I was 40. Do you remember when you were 40? Amen. I figured you did. And I am not picking on you, please don't. But you remember what you could do when you were 40? Probably a lot, if I were to talk to his wife. Probably a ton. Are you as strong today as you were when you were 40? Are you even half as strong? Maybe. I like that. Yet what we find that Caleb says, look, I am as strong as an 85-year-old guy as I was when I was 40. As strong to do anything, even war. I'm as strong now as I was then. You can almost see Caleb with sword in hand saying, charge! Maybe crazy, but and yet he says, look, God's rewarded me. He's rewarded me immensely with still having my mind and my facilities and my strength. Part of Caleb's reward was that of physical. He was going to need it. Think about it. Caleb definitely was going to need it. How would you like to go up against, say, 1,000 Goliaths? You thought David's one Goliath was bad. Can you imagine 1,000 of them? Caleb was going to need that strength. We also see that Caleb's reward was geographical. He got his mountain. He wanted that mountain. That was the mountain that he said that God was going to give to him. So his reward was not just physical, but it was geographical. That was his mountain, and he wanted it. That was the spot that he wanted. And if you get a chance, and you can, how many of you like even geography? Do I have any geography people? 2.5, 3.5. That's not bad. You look at the land of Israel, and you look at the geography, and look where that city is. It's an amazing spot. It's an amazing place. And that was what Caleb wanted. And you know something? Because of Caleb's wholeheartedly wanting to serve God, God gave him the exact mountain that he asked for. And he was able to conquer it. We also see that he was blessed by Joshua himself. blessed by Joshua himself. We don't find that actually Joshua blesses a lot of different people for their service and their accomplishments or anything. But what we do find is that Joshua blesses Caleb. And what we find last is that Caleb was what I call a hall of faither. If you look in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe that in verse number 31 and following, that Caleb was part of that hall of faith. Hall of faith. Trusted God. Believed God. Said, God, by faith, I'm going to follow you no matter what. No matter what it costs me, I'm going to follow you. And that Caleb was a hall. We have our hall of fames. Matter of fact, as I was driving from Florida on up to Michigan, several of the signs. Hall of fame for music. Hall of fame for... And there were several of them on the billboards. Caleb was one of God's hall of faithers. He believed God. God counted that faithful. And because of it, God rewarded Caleb immensely. I can't wait. Can't wait till one of the days when the Lord calls me home, one person I want to shake their hand is Caleb. I just want to look at him. See, who knows how all heaven works out. I know the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them. I understand that. And I realize that, yeah, there's a lot that goes into heaven. But I do want to meet Caleb, and I want to shake his hand and say, Caleb, I read your story in God's word. And I realize it doesn't give you your whole life, but the parts that I read were absolutely amazing. Can you tell me more? Tell me how you fought the Anakims. How did that go? What happened? And it'd be exciting. But what I do want you to remember is God always rewards. God does always reward. When we are faithful to Him, God always rewards. Galatians chapter 6 talks about the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap. Did you hear what I just said? What you sow, you will reap. Sometimes we plant bad things. Teenagers, kids, pay attention to me. If you sow that which is bad, guess what? You'll reap that. You can ask God for crop failure, but that doesn't mean He's going to give it to you. But when we sow that which is good, when we plant that which is right, God always rewards and blesses. And sometimes God blesses in ways we never ever thought possible. Not all of it has to be in money. You could see Caleb's reward. Caleb's reward was physical, it was geographical, and we could go on and on in that which Caleb's reward. The blessing was that Caleb even got to see the land of Canaan. One or two people that got to see the land of Canaan. But God always rewards, He always blesses. How faithful are you? My challenge today is that of encouragement. Can you say like Caleb, I want that mountain. God has called me to do, or God has asked me to do this for Him, and you would say to God, God, I want to be all in. I don't want to be half-hearted. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to have one foot on this side of the fence and one foot on this side of the fence. I want to be all in. I'm wanting to give my all for God. How are you this morning? Are you like a Caleb? I want that mountain, and I'm going to do everything I can. Attitude, physical ability, I'm going to do everything I can for God, for His honor and glory. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning. Where are you at this morning? How are you? I realize I've gone way over, and I apologize for that. But are you like a Caleb? Are you like a Joshua and a Caleb? Or are you more like the 10 others? Yeah, they were Israelites. Yeah, they were part of God's chosen people. Yet nonetheless, We know by the words that came out of their mouth and by their actions that they were not wholly committed to God like Caleb was. Caleb said that he wanted that mountain only because that was the mountain God gave to him. And he knew that that was the area that God had for him to conquer in the land of Canaan. It wasn't going to be easy. It was going to be hard work. Yet he wholly believed God, and he counted God faithful, and that God was trustworthy, and that the promise that God said to him that God would keep. How are you this morning? Maybe you say, well, Pastor John, I'm 85 plus. You realize God's not done with you? Do you hear me? God's not done with you till he calls you home. That means he's still got work for you to do. No matter what it is, he's got work for you to do. Be faithful. Be diligent. Be all in. You say, Pastor John, I've got little strength left. So, give that strength to him. Say, God, you know what I have left, but I'm going to give it my all. Maybe you say, well, I'm way below 85. Okay. Then give your all to him. Maybe you're a teenager and you're like a Pastor John. God, I'm not so sure I want to follow you. God, I'm just not so sure that your plan is what I want. Teenager, young people, let me tell you, it's all worth it. If you're willing to say, God, here am I, use me, you will never be sorry. It will be the best that God has for you. It will be perfect because God's plan is perfect. You then today need to say, God, here am I, use me. I'm willing to give you my all, and I want to serve you in whatever way that you call me to do. Maybe that's where you're at today. I'll have the piano play, and he can play whatever he would like to play this morning. But as we have our invitation, I want to open the part up here. You can come forward, and maybe there's something that God's worked in your heart and your life this morning. Maybe you say, you know, I've been more lukewarm. I've not been all in. I've not been totally committed. Maybe my attitude has just been wrong. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to be completely surrendered to you. I've never surrendered my life, but I want to surrender my life to serve you. As the pianist plays, you come and you come and talk to the Lord and say, God, this is what you've worked in my heart. You do with me as you want. As he plays, you come. God worked in your heart today? Has he? Are you going to be a Joshua and a Caleb? Or are you going to be like the other 10? Say, man, that mountain's too tall. The people are too strong. I just don't think I can do it. Are you going to say, God, I might not got much. I'm old. Everything doesn't work as well as what it used to. But I want to be all in for you. I want to go out strong. And I want to live for you. Which are you going to be? You have a choice to make. Today, God's going to call you to make a choice. And guess what? Lukewarm won't cut it. Lukewarm won't cut it. Half-heartedness won't cut it. Matter of fact, God doesn't even want 80-20. Remember the deal I tried to cut with God? It was 90-10. And I thought it was a great deal. And God said, nope, I either want all of you or none of you. You have a choice to make this morning. Guess what? Kids, your parents can't make that choice for you. You've got to make that choice. It's an individual, personal choice. Mom, dad, you have to make that choice. Your husband, your spouse can't make it for you. You've got to make it. It's an individual choice. But it's a choice you must make. Matter of fact, as we leave here today, you have already made a choice. And that choice that you make today will determine the direction you go from here on in. So might I caution you, make the right choice. Make a right choice. Father, we're thankful again for this day. Thank you for the life of Caleb. What a tremendous encouragement. He was fully surrendered. He realized the problem. He saw that the situation didn't look good. Yet he realized that with God, all things are possible. He also realized, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He didn't have those New Testament passages of Scripture. Yet, by faith, we realize that just because of what Caleb said, he was wanting to wholly follow God. Thank you for those New Testament passages that we have. Help us to be Joshua's and Caleb's for you. Father, we realize that you will always reward, and you reward in amazing ways. So, Father, we thank you. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.